But it's not a competition, is it? Praise God. We love both of them because in Thanksgiving it reminds us to be thankful. And in Christmas it reminds us of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So really, we can be thankful for both. I want to share an experience with you before I bring the message this morning that I had last night. Because I've been sharing with you over the last 4 or 5 weeks that God is interested in us not only corporately. Yes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But we've covered several examples of Jesus having one-on-one personal conversations with people and them finding eternal life through their conversations with Him. And I've challenged us to be praying, and asking the Lord for opportunities and for boldness and courage to not only see those opportunities, but to seize them. And you know, sometimes we pastors, we preachers, have to practice what we preach. And so the Lord this week, last night, created an opportunity for me to meet one-on-one with a man that I've known for 7 years. As a matter of fact, I've performed their wedding. And so last night, I was honored by their family to minister to the family in their celebration of life for the passing of one of their family members, a friend of mine who I love dearly. In the time of sharing about this beloved departed, I spent considerable time reminding all of us there that life is short and death is certain. And after that, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so I challenged them with the gospel at the funeral. After the message, after I sat down, this gentleman came over to me and he said, "I'm ready." And I said, "You're ready? What are you ready for?" He said, "I'm ready to give my heart to the Lord." I said, "Okay." He goes, "Well, you don't have to do it right now." I said, "Oh, yes, we do. We have to do it right now." And we sat over, and I don't think I've ever done this before, and I want to teach it to you. I want to show it to you at some point. But I sat down with him with a napkin. How many of you know that a lot of business has been done? Can you hear me okay? A lot of business has been done with people in restaurants over a napkin. Well, this is the greatest business there is in the world. And so I sat down with Maury, and I drew three circles. And I told Maury, I said, "Maury, in this circle, God's design for the world, for our lives, was perfection." And I drew a nice little heart. And then I drew a line from that first circle to the second circle, and I wrote, "But immediately, even Adam and Eve immediately departed from God's perfect design." Now, the Bible calls that sin. And so we end up in this second circle in a broken world. And how many of us know we're all broken? Some of us feel like we're broken more than others. Humpty Dumpty. But in this brokenness, we attempt to fix ourselves. And so we'll try to fix ourselves by by religion, or we'll try to fix ourselves by drugs, or we'll try to fix ourselves by relationships or money. But those things are like a bungee cord. You can get out so far and then it just snaps you right back. And you really are worse than you were originally. See, we can't fix ourselves. But God, in His love, in His perfect design, made a way to heal this brokenness. And I drew a line from the second circle to the third circle, and I said, the way He did that is this. And I drew an arrow going down, and I said, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And then in the middle, I drew a cross. To die on the cross, to live a perfect life, and die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. But it didn't stop there, and I drew an arrow up. It said, but He rose again, conquering not only our sin, but death itself. And now He lives to make intercession for us. How do we get back to this place where God has for us, this perfect design? And I go back to that line between the broken world and the cross of Christ, and I write the words, Trust what? Trust the gospel. Trust the message of Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus and repent. Trust and repent. That's it. And that restores us. And I drew a line from the cross to the original circle. That restores us to right relationship with God. And Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new person. They're a new creation. All things have become new. And I'm sharing all this with Maury and waiting for the light to come on in his eyes. And he prayed the prayer with me. Hallelujah. And accepted Jesus right there at that funeral, that celebration of life. Accepted Jesus. And he lives in one of our close towns. And I said, listen, I'm going to call you and remind you to get up this morning and go to church. You need fellowship. And I'm going to let the pastor know you're coming. Praise God. You see, there is no greater reward in life. You and I can take nothing to heaven with us. Somebody said, I've never seen a U-Haul connected to a hearse. I have seen a man who was buried in his Rolls Royce. What a waste of Rolls Royce. But he can't take it with him. And you and I can't take it with him. But I've got good news for us this morning. One thing you and I can take to heaven with us is someone else. We can take someone else to heaven with us. How do we do that? We don't pack them in our suitcase. No, we introduce them to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. My message this morning is this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as Paul said in Romans 4, it is the power of God unto salvation. To those who believe, to the Jew first, and then to you and me, the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I was driving here this morning and I was thinking about that verse. And of course I didn't like get on my phone while I was driving and look up the information I was curious about. But I was curious. I was curious about the word ashamed. And because I know that shame is related to guilt. And I know that the blood of Jesus Christ removes all of that when we accept His death, His life, death, and resurrection. He removes all of that. I was curious. I was just praying. I was asking the Lord with my eyes open. I don't drive praying with my eyes closed. But I was asking the Lord, Lord, is there a difference between ashamed and embarrassed? Because let's face it, we're not ashamed of Jesus, are we? But sometimes we're embarrassed. And I think we sometimes let that embarrassment, we let the enemy use that embarrassment to create shame. We're not ashamed of him. I get frustrated with people who post on social media, if you're not ashamed of Jesus, then you'll share this message, 10 times or whatever. Well, that almost makes me angry, because whether I share that message or not on Facebook has nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't need to be putting shame on each other. But Paul says to the Romans here, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. And I looked at that. I unpacked that a little bit. Paul goes on in Corinthians 15 to tell us what the gospel is. Before I read that to you, I want to say this. The gospel is the good news. That's what it means. And do you know the word gospel did not originate with Christians? Romans actually used it. It simply meant good news. But the Christians have the best news in the world. Amen? It means good news, because it brings hope to the hopeless and joy to the brokenhearted. The gospel is essential, not optional. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul lays out what the gospel is. He says, now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Unless you weren't serious. What is it? And in chapter verse 3 he says, for I delivered unto you as of first importance. I gave you the most important thing first, is what he said. That which also I received. What was that, Paul? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the number one thing of the gospel. Secondly, that He was buried. He died and He was buried. This is still a part of the gospel. And He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel. The gospel is Jesus lived, Jesus died and was buried, and Jesus rose from the dead. If He didn't rise from the dead, what difference does it make that He died? Amen? You see, His resurrection validated everything else. Praise God. And this is the gospel. And that He appeared to Cephas, that's Simon Peter, and then to the 12, the apostles, and then He appeared to more than 500 brethren, there on the Mount of Ascension. And last of all, Paul says, last of all, He appeared to me as one born out of season. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. What is the gospel? The gospel is about Jesus. Why am I not ashamed of the gospel? Because of what it is. It's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel for what it represents. You see, the gospel's not just words. The gospel is a person. The gospel is Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel. It is the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not a story, a fairy tale, a parable. It's the story of God's love. It's the story of God's mercy and His grace expressed, lived out in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel, we're sharing the centerpiece, the cornerstone, the foundation, and that is Christ Himself. Understand what Paul is trying to say here, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me this morning, because it's just as relevant now as it was when Paul penned it and when Corinthians read it. He is saying that when you and I, even in our timidity, even in our uncertainty, even in our embarrassment, our shyness, whatever struggles or hesitations we have in taking the opportunity to present the gospel, when we are presenting the gospel, it's not about us. It's not about how eloquently I say it. Believe me, I wasn't eloquent last night when I was drawing those circles and talking with my friend. No, I was just real. But it's not about how well you do it. It's about you doing it. And when we do it, it is the gospel. Everybody say gospel. It is the gospel that does the work. It is the gospel that is the power. It's not how I deliver. It's not my dynamic personality. It's not my oratory expertise. It's the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. We share the gospel as a messenger, but it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And the message is Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know if it'll work. It'll work. And it's not up to you whether it works or not, or me. It's up to the gospel. The gospel works because of its authority. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's not a weak message. It's backed by the full power of God. My goodness, Ramona said it in her prayer today. She said to the Father, "Father, your word goes out and accomplishes its purpose. It never comes back empty." Oh, glory to God. This is the power of God resident within you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the message of the gospel in you and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, praise God. That same power that created the universe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that conquered sin at the cross, that gospel is working in you. We don't stand in our own authority. We stand in God's authority. And His power is limitless. Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know if that one will ever get saved. Not up to you. Not up to me. Oh, I'll tell you what. There were times I thought I was a lost cause. And if we're all being honest, we've probably all been there. We just didn't know if God could even save us. But it is the power of God unto salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gospel is effective because it's empowered by God Himself. It's not about our strength, but His strength. Now, how many of you will testify this morning that God is strong? Just nod your head. How many of you will testify this morning that God is all power? Oh, hallelujah. All powerful. He is power. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Hallelujah. He's powerful. But can I tell you that power is available to you, especially to share the gospel? That's the whole purpose of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be emphatic, my witnesses. You shall be. It's not a suggestion. It's an imperative. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. It's an exciting commandment. Because what it says to you and me is this: we can do it. We can do it. Oh, I just don't know if I can do this, Pastor. You can do it. Hallelujah to God. You can do it. You know what I look forward to? Because I told him last night, I said, listen, you're just getting started. You need some discipling. You need some mentoring. I'm here for you. And I need you to get connected with a pastor. But here's the deal. I can't wait to hear back from him to say, oh, Pastor, I'm so excited. Because I was telling one of my friends what happened to me. And he said, hey, that... Glory to God. Glory to God. And he said, hey, I need that. I need that. This just came to me, and I'm just going to share it because it just came to me. But one of the tragedies of the church at Ephesus, Jesus bragged and bragged and bragged about him. I believe it was the church at Ephesus. But he said, all these good things that you're doing, but he said, I've got one thing against you. Oh, good Lord, I don't want the Lord to have something against me. You know what it was? He said, you have left your first love. Folks, some of us have been saved too long. Do you know what I mean? We've been saved so long, we're set. We're settled in. No. I pray to God in the name of Jesus that the Holy Ghost will begin to stir up the gifts of God in you. That God will stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And that you and I will remember the pit from which we were digged and the rock from which we were hewn. And we will remember amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, we have the power of God unto salvation right here in us. And I am not ashamed of the gospel because of its efficacy. That simply means its effectiveness. Hallelujah. It accomplishes. It works. It fulfills its promises. It brings salvation to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. That whosoever believeth in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation means deliverance from sin, healing our souls, hallelujah, and reconciliation to God because we were far off. The gospel works. It doesn't leave people where it finds them. Oh, you may not see the immediate result, but you have planted the gospel in them when you have shared your heart, shared your story, shared your experience in the gospel. Hallelujah. My story is not going to save anybody, but my story wrapped in the gospel will save somebody. Not because it's my story, but because it's wrapped in the gospel. And we've all got a story. We've talked about that. The gospel works. It's our only path to salvation. And we should never underestimate its effectiveness. Just cast your bread on the water. Just sow the seed. Glory to God. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Be bold in sharing the gospel. Trust in the power of the gospel to transform lives. Don't hold back. Share it with those in need, knowing it will bring real change. Oh, Father. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of its impartiality. Now, the left has hijacked this word, but I'm going to use it anyway. I'm not going to let them steal our language. But the gospel is inclusive. I don't mean that like the world means it today. I don't mean that we have to accept all kinds of debauchery. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is this. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all far from God. All of us were. But the gospel is a wide net. There's a parable in the scripture that compares the gospel to a fisherman throwing out a net. And he doesn't worry what fish it catches. It just drags in whatever the net catches. That's the gospel. You see, we don't need to be sorting the fish out. That's God's business. Amen. The gospel's for everyone. There is no partiality with God. The message of salvation is open to all, regardless of race, background, pasts, mistakes, or our social status. The inclusivity is one of the most beautiful aspects of the gospel. No one's left out. Repent and believe. That's it. Repent. Believe in your heart. And say it with your mouth. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, and if you say it with your mouth, because with the heart we believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. The gospel's for everyone. It's as broad as God's love. Hallelujah. It's as broad as God's love. We have a responsibility to share with every person, knowing that God desires all to come to Him. I didn't write down the reference for this scripture, but the scripture comes to me. God is not... God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. And the reason He's long-suffering, I'm paraphrasing this because I don't remember the scripture exactly how it goes. But He's long-suffering because He's not willing that any be lost, but that all would come to repentance. It's not the will of God for the death of any, but that all would come to repentance. Now, again, remember that first circle? God's perfect will. That's God's perfect will. But here's what we know. God gave us a will. And we have to make a choice. God gave everyone a will. But here's the thing. The important thing is give them the choice. How can they know unless, the Bible says, unless there's a preacher? Well, in this context, I think it just simply means somebody saying the words. Not standing behind a pulpit. Just saying the words, sharing the gospel. Embrace the inclusivity of the gospel. Reach out to people, knowing that God desires all to come to Him. Don't limit God. Don't limit the gospel reach. The gospel. Let everyone know they are invited. The world's waiting for this message. People are longing in this broken world for hope, peace, forgiveness, healing, and eternal life. And the gospel brings all of that. As believers, we're called to be bold. We're called to stand unashamed and to share the gospel with confidence and love. Let's share it with courage and compassion. Let's share it with joy and conviction. Let's share it unashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's share the gospel. Amen. Pray with me. Oh, Father. As we have been reminded already this morning, You watch over Your word to perform it. Let Your word find residence in our hearts this morning. Challenge us from this message to be bearers and sharers of the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us. Help us in our weakness. Don't let those things impede our sharing Your beautiful gospel. And Lord, I know that there are others who are not in this room but are attending through social media. And I pray with them, Lord. I pray with them that their hearts will be open to the gospel. I pray that those who are at this point have not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that Your sweet Holy Spirit, through the power of the gospel, will draw them to You. Only You can do that, Lord. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws them. Draw them, we pray. Help them review this message and pray and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. And Father, I pray and challenge those who are listening who know Jesus Christ in the full and free pardon of their sins, who have the power of the gospel in them, that we will become gospel messengers, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.